الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we're reading what the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, in the discussion about دلالة الألفاظ, the implications or indication or denotation of the terms, of the words, specifically here about the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're discussing this issue. دلالة الألفاظ, what the words they indicate, or the indication of the terms, or the denotation of the terms, yani how a word, how one understands the meaning of a word, the meaning of a particular word or term. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the terms, they have three aspects of understanding the meaning, indication or denotation of the meaning or the implication of what is intended from that term. The first one is called المطابقة. المطابقة. المطابقة is دلالة اللفظ على كامل المعنى. على كامل المعنى. Whenever the term, it indicates the entire meaning. Whenever the term denotes the entire meaning. دلالة اللفظ على كامل المعنى. So whenever the term is understood from it, the entire meaning, and it conforms, the understanding conforms with what the word was used for or placed for, this is considered دلالة المطابقة. دلالة المطابقة. We mentioned the example like house. The word house, if you understand it, the roof, the foundation, the roof, or the foundation, the walls, the ceiling, the roof, so on and so forth, this is the entire thing. So you understand this word in entirety, from all aspects. So from here, this is called دلالة المطابقة, يعني in conformity to the term itself. In conformity to the term itself. And you understand what it denotes, what it means, it indicates in entirety. In entirety. The second aspect is called دلالة التضمن. دلالة التضمن. And this is whenever the people, this is the, and the people of knowledge, as I mentioned, دلالة التضمن, دلالة اللفظ على بعض معنى, على بعض المعنى, على جزء من المعنى. That's whenever the term you understand from it, that it indicates part of the meaning. Not the whole meaning, but part of the meaning. So if you discuss the same word, البيت, the house, and you speak about the foundation, for example, or you speak about only the roof, or only the walls, the walls are part of the house. The walls are part of the house. So this term, it indicates all of the house, and also indicates part of the house. So it's understood from here. It's understood from here. Understanding the entire house, all parts of the house, this is called دلالة المطابقة. Understanding from the house, part of the house, portions of the house, this is called دلالة التضمن, because these portions of the house, they're included in that word. The wall is included, and the door is included, and the window is included. So from here, we understand this term. From here, we understand this term. As for if you want to talk about the residents are not from the house. So the word house, you don't understand from the word house initially, residence. They're not a part of the house. But this is something that this term necessitates, that there will be residents, that there be residents, or that there's a builder of the house, or engineer, or designer, and the likes like this, construction man, so on and so forth. So the dilata now is called al-itizam, or bi dilatati al-luzum. And this is dilatati lovely ada, ma'nin kharijan. على معنى خارج عن مسمى أو عن معنى عن معناه. يعني that whenever the term, it indicates a meaning that's not from the actual thing, but you understand it by way of implication, and it's necessitated. And whenever you talk about a house, it's implied understanding that there's people who built it. It's an implied understanding that someone built it. How do you understand that directly from the word house? No, because that's part of that house. No, but because that is necessitated, and by way of necessitation, it's an implied understanding that somebody built the house. That somebody built the house. So we understand that somebody who built the house from the word house, how? By way of implication, by way of necessity. By way of necessity, it's an implied meaning. It is an implied meaning. It is an implied meaning. An implied meaning. So some of them, from the translation, denotation by conformity. Denotation by conformity, that's the first one. Denotation by inclusion, and denotation by implication.
So دلالة المطابقة denotation by conformity. And the meaning, the understanding conforms to the actual meaning of the word, all of it. And دلالة التضمن denotation by inclusion. Any that thing is included in the meaning of what that word has or denotes or indicates. And the third one is دلالة التزام, and this denotation by implication. And it's an applied meaning. It's logically or necessity, necessarily related to that situation or to that term or the meaning of that term or the meaning of that term. So this is clear here. دلالة المطابقة, دلالة اللفظ على كامل المعنى, دلالة التضمن, دلالة اللفظ على بعض المعنى, ودلالة التزام, دلالة اللفظ على شيء خارج عن المعنى. عن المعنى. This is the meaning here. This is the meaning here. So we read again the author. He says, رحمه الله, على كم نوع دلالة الأسماء والصفات. How many types of indication do the most beautiful names carry? الجواب هي على ثلاثة أنواع. The response is that there are three types of indication or denotation. دلالتها على الذات مطابقة. Indication of the essence by direct denotation, يعني مطابقة, by conformity. ودلالتها على الصفات المشتقة منها تضمنا. Indication of the attribute from which the name is derived by implication, يعني التضمن. يعني التضمن. ودلالتها على الصفات التي ما اشتقت منها التزاما. An indication of other attributes not derived from that specific name by way of necessity. By way of necessity. So we discussed before that الأسماء الحسنى أعلام وأوصاف. الأسماء الحسنى أعلام وأوصاف. What does that mean?
Personal name and description.
So الأعلام, الأعلام is the plural of العلم. And the word العلم is اسم العلم. This is the proper name. Proper name. So their names, proper. Considered a proper name. اسم العلم is the proper name. You know what proper names are? You study Nahu, you learn about this, huh? Yes, so a proper name. Proper name is the name of a person or name of a city in the life sciences. This is called a proper name, right? So these names here, the asma, al-asma al-husna, a'lamun wa-awsaf. So the a'lam meaning the names of Allah. Whose names are they? The names of Allah. Allah from his beautiful names, ar-Rahman. Allah from his beautiful names, ar-Rahim. Allah from his beautiful names, al-Alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his beautiful names, ar-Ra'uf, al-Kareem, al-Wahhab, al-Mannan, al-Muhsin. From his beautiful names, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Sami', al-Basir. So each one of these names is a name for Allah. So when we mention these names, who are we referring to? Allah subhanahu. So therefore they're a'lam. But they're not a'lam without meanings. No, they're a'lam and awsaf. Every name is al-alam and al-wasf. So there's a name for Allah and a description for Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand that? So whenever we study one of these beautiful names, if we understand from that name that it's the name of Allah and that that name carries that description for Allah in the most complete and perfect manner without any deficiency whatsoever, we have understood this name bidilalati al-mutabaqa, in conformity to the word. You understand? Because now we understood the name in entirety. What it indicates. What does it indicate? It indicates it's a name for Allah. And it's a description or attribute. Description or attribute for Allah. You understand? So this is dilalatul mutabaqah. Right? If you understand from that name only the attribute. If we speak about only the attribute. From the name you derive the attribute only. You say, Ar-Rahman, oh, this is the sifa. He has the attribute of mercy. So the dilala here is تضمن, because mercy is included in the understanding of that name, because every name is a name and an attribute. So Ar-Rahman or Rahim has the attribute of mercy. Ar-Rahman has the attribute of mercy. Ar-Rahman. You understand that? As-Sami' As-Sama' Al-Basir, Al-Basar, like this. So if you discuss that only, the attribute only, then this is, the term indicates the attribute by itself by way of inclusion, because that attribute is included in the actual word. So it's a part of the understanding of the word itself, of the name itself. Waadih? So that's called a tadammun. That's called a tadammun. Yani an inclusion. An inclusion. Yani that is considered from it. It's considered a part of it. As for if you understand from the name Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Alim, Al-Qadir, the most gracious, the most merciful, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, able to do all things. You understand from these names here, the attribute of Al-Hayat. Right? This is, we understood that attribute by the Al-Hayat. What does that mean? Al-Hayat. Huh? That's why it's so important to learn the Arabic language, even just any vocabulary words, especially for the topics that you're studying, so you can always just move with the lesson. And maybe we don't all know the Arabic language, but we should all know these terms in general, or be seeking to learn them, striving to learn them. And hayat, it means life. It means life. So the word Ar-Rahman, or the beautiful name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Alim, Al-Qadir, Al-Sami', Al-Basir, right? It's an implied understanding that from the attributes of Ar-Rahman is Al-Hayat. Is a life, a perfect life. How do we understand that? Does the name, does the beautiful name Ar-Rahman indicate that directly? Is it part of the name directly? Derived from the name directly? No. It's understood by way of implication. And it's a necessary understanding that the most gracious, the most merciful, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-wise, the strong and the almighty is alive. He has a life that is a life of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever. So the understanding now, deriving this attribute of life here from these terms, is by way of al-iltizam, dilalatu al-iltizam. So sometimes the word, the words when we use it, and it's used, and what is derived from it is a complete meaning. It's in conformity and entirety, the understanding of that word. Other times we're just discussing or a part of the word. We're discussing where the word is used indicating a part of the word. Other times it's used to refer to something that's necessary, or that's understood by implication or by necessity related to that word, but not directly in conformity with the meaning of the word, nor actual part of the word, but it's something that the understanding of that word necessitates. It must be there. It must be there. So the one who is all-knowing, he must be alive. Right? So understand that this life here, the attribute of life from the word al-alim, by way of dilalatu al-iltizam. Dilalatu al-iltizam, or called dilalatu al-luzum. Naam. So this is what he's saying here. Read it again. They carry three types of indication. Indication of the essence of Allah, any that Allah, it's alam for Allah. This is by the denotation, mutabaqah. And that's whenever you understand actually the essence and the attribute together. You understand the word in entirety. Al-alam wal-wasf. Al-alam wal-wasf. This is bil-mutabaqah. Dilalatu, or whenever you understand the indication of the attribute from the name, from the word from which the name is derived, in the ar-rahmah, the word derived from that ar-rahman, so on and so forth. This is how the Arabic language is, the language of derivatives. So you understand that attribute, that from the attributes of Ar-Rahman is Ar-Rahmah. So this is part of the meaning of the word. Part of the meaning of the word. And again, the attribute of life, for example, or even knowledge with regards to Ar-Rahmah. He's the most gracious. So therefore, that necessitates that he is alive and that he's all-knowing. And also that he's all-powerful, able to do all things. And also that he has irada. He does what he wills. Al-Mashi'a, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's the most gracious, the bestower of mercy. So that means he bestows mercy on whom he likes from his creation. It's understood implied meaning, right? And in doing that, he must have knowledge of the creation to bestow mercy on them. So now we're understanding these other attributes from these terms, not by the term itself, and not by part of the understanding of that term, but by what that term itself necessitates. But that term itself necessitates. This is with regards here through al-asma wa sifat. To al-asma wa sifat. Al-asma wa sifat. So, but this is not limited here. That's why I mentioned in the beginning, the mas'ala, it goes back to a greater issue, and that is dilalatu al-alfaz. Al-alfaz laha ha thalathatu anwa' lid-dilala. They have three types. Al-mutabaqa, al-tadammun, and al-tizam. It's not only in the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not only in the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is in general. This is in general. So maybe now, inshallah, when it comes later, we study these issues again, inshallah, you will remember and benefit, and it'll be easier. Bi-inillahi ta'ala. The author, he says, su'al, ma mithalu dhalika? What is an example of that? Al-jawab, mithalu dhalika ismuhu ta'ala ar-Rahman ar-Rahim yudullu ala dhatil musamma. The example is his name, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful. It denotes وَهُوَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ وَهُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْمُطَابَقَ. وَهُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْمُطَابَقَ. مثال ذلك اسمه تعالى الرحمن الرحيم يدل على ذات المسمى وهو الله عز وجل مطابقة. An example is his name, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful. It denotes the name, the named essence, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by direct denotation, by mutabaqa. Yani that name is referring to Allah. وَعَلَى صِفَةِ الْمُشْتَقَّةِ وَعَلَى صِفَةِ الْمُشْتَقَّةِ should be there. عَلَى صِفَةِ الْمُشْتَقَّةِ مِنْهَا وَهِيَ الرَّحْمَةُ تَضَمُّنًا. And it denotes the attribute, it is derived from, i.e. mercy. Meaning mercy, ar-Rahmah, by implication. Yani by implication. You know, or by, yani, what was the word? Inclusion. By inclusion. And it's included. It's part of the meaning included in the term. وَعَلَى غَيْرِهَا مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ أَلَتِي لَمْ تُشْتَقَّ مِنْهَا كَالْحَيَاتِ وَالْقُدْرَةِ الْتِزَامٍ. And it denotes other attributes not derived from the name, such as life and ability, by necessity, iltizam. This is what we just discussed. وَهَكَذَا سَائِرُ أَسْمَائِهِ. And this applies to all of his names. And this applies to all of his names, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. وَذَلِكَ بِخِلَافِ الْمَخْلُوقَ. And this is contrary to the creation. This is contrary to the creation, right? Somebody, maybe he's called, for example, Zaki, and he's Khabif. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ صَالِح. His name is Salih. وَهُوَ كَذَّاب. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. He's a liar, right? Or his name is Sadiq, and he's a liar. It's called Salih, and he's fast. Fasik, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. So it's not necessary. This is with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not necessarily the case in every human being. Maybe a human being, he has a name and he doesn't live up to that name. Maybe he has a name, he doesn't live up to that name. Right? Maybe he has a name that's a beautiful name, but his actions and conduct is not beautiful. It's not beautiful. So he says, rahimahullah, وَذَلِكَ بِخِلَافِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. Unlike the creation. This is contrary to the creation. فَقَدْ يُسَمَّ حَكِيمًا وَجَاهِلٌ وَحَكَمًا وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ وَعَزِيزًا وَهُوَ ذَلِيلٌ وَشَرِيفًا وَهُوَ وَضِيعٌ وَكَرِيمًا وَهُوَ لَئِيمٌ وَصَالِحًا وَهُوَ طَارِحٌ وَصَالِحًا وَهُوَ طَارِحٌ وَسَعِيدًا وَهُوَ شَقِيٌّ وَأَسَدًا وَحَضَرَةً وَعَلْقَمَةً وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ وَلَيْسَ يَعْنِي أَنَّهُ جَبَّانٌ. Uh-huh. Now, unlike the creation, the person may be called Hakim, wise, while being ignorant, or Hakim, a judge, while he's unjust, or Aziz, mighty, while he's humiliated, and he's a lowly person, or Sharif, he's noble, while he himself is lowly or despicable, or Kareem, generous, while being vile, and he's a low life, and his name is Kareem, but in reality he is La'im, waliyadu billah, from the worst traits, al-lu'ma, waliyadu billah, the opposite of Kareem, or Salih, righteous, while he himself is corrupted, or Sa'id, he's considered happy, while he's wretched. He's wretched and unhappy, miserable. And he could even be named Asid, any lion, or Hamwara, or Anqama, or having no relations to such things. And maybe they call him Asid, and he's a coward. Nah? Shuja, illa annahu yakhafu min dhilli. He's very brave, except for the fact that he's scared of his shade. What did they call that in Malawa? Al-adhamu fi. في ماذا الذم في 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 سورة المدح أو سايدز يعني شجاع إلا أنه يخاف من ذلي. He's very brave except for the fact he's scared of his own shadow. He says رحمه الله فسبحان الله وبحمده هو كما وصف نفسه وفوق ما يصفه به خلقه. So glorified is Allah and praised is He, and He is as He described Himself, and far above what His creation described Him as. He is as He describes Himself, and far above what His creation has described Him as. So the author, he says, Rahimahullah, سؤال على كم قسم دلالة الأسماء الحسنى من جهة التضمن. How many categories do the most beautiful names al-asma ul-husna have in terms of implication? What was that? What do we call inclusion? Implication here, the inclusion, tadammun, by way of inclusion. The meaning is included. It's included, but part of the understanding. Al-jawab, the response here, ala arbati aqsam. He said, rahimahullah, the answer, they fall into four categories. الأول الاسم العلم المتضمن الاسم العلم المتضمن المتضمن لجميع معاني الأسماء الحسنى وهو الله ولهذا يأتي الأسماء جميعها صفات له كقوله تعالى هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور ونحو ذلك ولم يأتي هو خط تابع لغيره من الأسماء. He said the first indication of inclusion or implication, the proper name, Ismul Alam, which includes all the meanings of the most beautiful names. And that is the name Allah. Allah, the name Allah, it includes all of His beautiful names, all of His beautiful attributes. Allah, Allah, He is Ar-Rahman, Allah, He is Ar-Rahim, Allah, He is Al-Karim, Allah, He is Al-Mannan, Allah, He is Al-Wahhab, Allah, He is Al-Qadir, Allah, He is Alim Al-Ghaybi wa Shahada. Yeah, Allah, He's Al-Muqtadir. Allah, these are His names and these are His attributes. So that term there, that beautiful name, Allah, this name here includes تضمن. يتضمن جميع الأسماء والصفات. This name here includes all of the other names and beautiful attributes. And they're understood. They're understood that they're part of that name. And that He is Allah, He is Ar-Rahman. He says, like the statement of Allah, he says the proper name, which includes all the meanings of the most beautiful names, and that is the name Allah. All other names are mentioned as attributes of it. Yani all other names are mentioned yani following that name. Following that name. In accordance with that name. And they come like attributes for that name. All other names mentioned are attributes of it, as in his statement. He is Allah, the creator, the inventor of all things, the bestower of forms. Right? You understand his point? Allah, he said, Huwa Allah al-Khaliq, al-Bari, al-Musawwir. And then he says, Rahimahullah, and similar. The name Allah never comes as an attribute of another name. Rather, all other names follow it. So never find Ar-Rahman, Huwa Allah. Ar-Rahim, al-Alim, al-Qadir, Huwa Allah. Like this. It doesn't come like that. Right? So the other names, they're following the name Allah. And Allah, the name Allah is not following those other names. Waldeh? This is the case here. This is what he's discussing, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is specific with the name Allah. So the name Ismu al-Jalala, Allah, it has a number of khasa'is. Khasa'is lafziyya wa khasa'is ma'nawiyya. And it's special qualities, specific qualities only known for that name. Only known for this beautiful name, Allah. Allah, it has come in the tafsir of Muhammad ibn Jirir al-Tabari, Abu Ja'far, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 310 with rahimahullah. He's from the first of the scholars of hadith to write a tafsir and to explain the verses of Allah by narration chains. It's a very vast tafsir and very beneficial. In there, he mentioned with his chain to Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma the name Allah. He said, Allah dhul uluhiyya wal ubudiyya ala khalqihi ajma'in. That Allah, He is the possessor of al uluhiyya and of al ubudiyya over the entire creation. Over the entire creation. So dhul uluhiyya, the possessor of al uluhiyya, yani alladhi lahu sifatul kamila wal azama wal jalal alati yastahiqu biha an yu'laha wa yu'bad wa yukhda' lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala wa yudha'. So this is the meaning of al-uluhiyya. It's the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In English, what do we say al-uluhiyya? Divinity, right? Divinity. So what is divinity? Attributes of perfection. Attributes, characteristics of praise, perfection, necessitating that one surrender and obey, compliance, submit, and love absolutely. That's why they call them American Idol, right? The American idols, they love them so much that they're like divine for them. They're gods, idol, right? Ilah. Why? Because they make ta'allu for their gods, and for these people, they love them. Subhanallah, they love them. Sometimes they'll go to a concert. They love the man so much, the women will pass out. And they see the rock star, or they see the rapper and the likes like that, and they faint because they love them so much, and they can't believe that they're actually in front of them, looking at them, listening to them, do the thing like this. Huh? You know when they used to do that? Maybe some of you are too young. A man, they call him the king. There's a man in America, they call him the king. That's what he was known. The king of rock and roll. The king of rock and roll. Hawda billah. People used to go, this is back even before my time. This is even before my time, but this is something that is known. The king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. You know how he died? In the bathroom, when he had the billah. Humiliated with no clothes. They found him naked with no clothes on in the bathroom, overdosing on drugs. Filthy. The king. What kind of kingdom is that? And you see how if you try to fight and oppose and rebel against the king, you'll be humiliated. The true king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true king. But seriously, you will see this. The women will go to those concerts and they'll pass out. They'll fall over. And because why? Because of the love they have. So this is it's like divine. Right? They love him so much. They believe that he's reached this level, that they love him in this manner. Huh? They love him in this manner. So this is the understanding of divinity. When somebody believes him to be divine and at the peak, the best, the attributes of perfection, you love him so much, more than everything else. So much so that you will surrender and you will submit and you will comply and you will obey absolutely because of your great love for them. You understand? So Allah, he is Dhul Uluhiyya. Allah, he is the possessor of uluhiyyah. He's the possessor of divinity. He is the one who has the attributes of perfection, with no deficiency whatsoever or shortcoming, and nothing comparable to him or resembling him or close to him whatsoever in these affairs. Therefore, he alone is worthy to be deified, to be taken as a divine God and worshipped and loved in this manner, and surrendered and submitted to him in obedience and humbleness and servitude. This is the meaning of Allah, dhul uluhiyyah. From the khasais of this name, al-ma'nawiyyah, what he just referred to, that this name includes all of the other names. All the other names include attributes for this name. You understand that? You understand that? This is very important. We want to know Allah. This is from knowing Allah. Because if you know Allah, what would happen? You will love him. And if you love him, what will happen? He will love you. And if he loves you, don't worry. All right? Don't worry. He will help you. He will aid you, protect you, and guide you. He will grant you success. This is from Al-Khasa'is Al-Ma'nawiyyah, the beautiful name of Allah. Allah, this is Ism Alam. This is even a number of the scholars, they mentioned Huwa Ismu Allahi Al-Azam. This is the greatest name. The greatest name. This name includes all of the other names. And all the other names include attributes for this name. And for those names are derived from them attributes referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the other names, like the author is saying here, are ascribed to this name. This name is not ascribed to those names. Al-asma al-husna kulluha mudafa ila Allah. Understand that? All of the other names, they're ascribed to Allah. And Allah is not ascribed to those names. It's not backwards. So this is the asl. This is the foundation. And the rest of the names are ascribed to Allah. Allah, he is Ar-Rahman. Allah, he is Ar-Rahim. So on and so forth. So this is from the specific qualities of this term. Likewise, in the word Allah, the Alif and Lam, right? Al. It's called Al al-Ta'rifiyyah. La taskutu عند النida. بخلاف الأسماء الأخرى. The Alif and Lam doesn't fall off whenever you call. When you call Allah, what do you say? Yeah? Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. When you call Ar Rahman, what do you say? Yeah. How do you say Ya Ar Rahman? Ya Ar Rahman. What do you say? Yeah. Rahman. Huh? When you call Al Karim, how do you call Al Karim? Al Karim is the name of Allah. How do you call him by this name? Yeah. Yeah. Karim. Yeah, Karim. Without the Al. The Alif and Lam falls off here when the Nida comes. You understand that? Ya Kareem, Ya Mannan, Ya Qadir, Ya Qawi, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Tawwab, Ya Tawwab. You understand? The Alif and Lam comes off. This is normal in the Arabic language. It is normal in the Arabic language. When you call, the Alif and Lam comes off. And the letter, if it's one word, it's going to have a Dhamma. It's like that. Yubna ala Dhamma. But the name Allah, the alif and lam stays. Ya Allah. You understand? The alif and lam, it stays there. Initially, it's from, the term is Al-Ilah. Al-Ilah. And then because it's used a lot, the lam, the hamza was removed, and the lam was made with the shadda, and then it was made mufakhama, out of honor and reverence. So all, it was initially Al-Ilah. And then it became Allah, Al-Ilah, and then Allah. And then you make the tafkhim on the M, so it is Allah, Allah. You understand? So this name has special qualities, special qualities. It's the name of Allah. It's the name of Allah. Also from the special qualities of this name is that the majority of the adhkar, the majority of the adhkar, they come with the mention of this name. Huh? Do you say Ar-Rahmanu Akbar? Al-Kareemu Akbar? What do you say? Allahu Akbar. Alhamdu lir-Rahman. You say that? It's true, right? But what do you say? How does the dhikr come? Alhamdu lillah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah. Subhana Allah. Hasbiya Allah. Astaghfira Allah. You understand? The majority of the adhkar that have come, they have come with the mention of this term, of this beautiful name, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Illa billah. These are specific adhkar that are repeated all throughout the day, different times and circumstances. And the name Allah is used here. And so this is also from the special qualities of this name. Also from the special qualities of this beautiful name is that this name is mentioned more time in the Book of Allah than any other of his beautiful names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of knowledge mentioned that the beautiful name Allah is mentioned in the Quran more than 2,200 times. More than 2,200 times. There are many verses also that begin with the name Allah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Right? Many, many verses, they begin with Allah, with the name Allah. And they are from the beautiful verses, many of them describing and clarifying the traits and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says here, this is with regards to the first. What was the question again? So we don't get lost. We don't get off track. They fall into four categories. Well, how many categories do the beautiful names have in terms of implication? Any of it in terms of inclusion? Any by way of a tadammun? He says four. There are four. The first one is this one here, that the proper name, Ismul Alam, which includes all of the meanings of the most beautiful names, and that is the name Allah. And all of the names are mentioned as attributes, and they're ascribed back to Allah, as we have seen. As the example he mentioned, Allahu al-Khaliq al-Bari al-Musawwir. He says, الثاني, ما يتضمن صفة ذات الله عز وجل. The second names that imply attributes of Allah's essence, of the essence of Allah. Attributes of the that, you need the essence of Allah, such as he says, Kasmi, Kasmihi ta'ala as-sami' al-mutadammin sam'ahu al-wasi' jami' al-aswat sawa'un indahu sirruha wa alaniyatuha. He said, for example, the name as-sami' the all-hearing. This includes his hearing that encompasses all sounds, or the secret or public, or the secret or public. So this is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attribute of his essence. So the people of knowledge, they clarify that as-sifat, there are two types. As-sifat nu'ani, sifatun ذاتية والصفات فعلية. صفات ذاتية وصفات فعلية. That is the essence. is the essence. So there are attributes of the essence of Allah, and there are attributes that are the actions of Allah. Are the actions of Allah. So he's saying here that sama', this is from the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the essence of Allah. This attribute here is from the vent. He said, wasmuhu al-basir mutadammin. Wasmuhu al-basiru al-mutadamminu basarahu al-nafidha fi jami' al-mubsarati sawa'un daqiquha wa jadiruha. Al-basir, the all-seeing. So it includes his sight that penetrates all that is visible, whether subtle or large or grand, and everything, whether it's small or large. Allah, he sees all of that. So this is also a sifa of Allah. But what type? Sifatun? Sifatun dhatiyya. It's an attribute of his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an attribute of the essence of Allah, azza wa jalla, like the yad, the hand, and like the wajah, the face. These are sifat dhatiyya. As for a sifat fi'liyya, how can we identify them? They are attributes that sifat al-fi'liyya tata'alaqu bi mashiyati Allahi azza wa jalla. The attributes of the actions of Allah azza wa jalla, they're related to the mashiyah. They're related to the mashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're related to the mashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does them whenever he wills, in the manner he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْمُهُ الْعَلِيمُ الْمُتَضَمِّنُ عِلْمَهُ الْمُحِيطَ الَّذِي لا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وأصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر. العليم, the all-knowing, includes his encompassing knowledge. Not even the weight of an atom or a small ant escapes from his knowledge in the heavens or in the earth, nor what is less than that or what is greater than that, but it is written in a clear record. But it is written in a clear record. This methodology that the author he followed here in this portion, what is that called? Al-Iqtibas, Santa. Now that was in the beginning of the class. From the first, in the introduction. Al-Iqtibas. Al-Iqtibas, if you go up to the previous verse, what did he say? In the previous verse. Kaqawlihi ta'ala. Like the statement of Allah the Most, huwa Allahu al-Khaliq al-Bari. So here he's ascribing the verse and clarifying that it's from the words of Allah. Here he's mentioning a portion of the verse, but he's not saying that it's the words of Allah, but he's including it in his speech. You understand? So he's making iqtibas. He's taking a portion of this verse and including it in his words without ascribing it to the Quran. You understand that? So it's like he's talking, but while he's talking to clarify his point and intent, he's using verses of the words of Allah. He's using verses of the words of Allah. You understand that? Without saying that Allah said this and Allah said that, without ascribing them to Allah. It's called iqtibas. This is called iqtibas. Do we see how he's doing that? وَاسْمُهُ الْعَلِيمُ الْمُتَضَمِّنُ عِلْمَهُ الْمُحِيطُ الَّذِي لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا أَصْغَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرُ. Understand? So up to the word الَّذِي. وَاسْمُهُ الْعَلِيمُ الْمُتَضَمِّنُ عِلْمَهُ الْمُحِيطُ الَّذِي. This is from the words of the author. And then he used to complete what he wants to say, portion of the word, the verse from Surah Al-Sabah. الَّذِي لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The Al-Alim includes his encompassing knowledge. Not even the weight of the atom. This is from the words of Allah. Includes his encompassing knowledge. Not even the weight of an atom escapes from his knowledge in the heavens or in the earth, nor what is less than that, or what is greater than that, but it is written in incorrect. وَاسْمُهُ الْقَدِيرُ مُتَضَمِّنُ قُدْرَتَهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِيجَادٍ وَإِدَامٍ وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Al-Qadir, the all-powerful, includes his absolute power over all things in creating and annihilating. Creating, bringing into existence, ijadin, and he bringing into existence, and the adamin, not taking out of existence. Taking out of existence. Al-Thadith, مَا يَتَضَمَّنُ صِفَةَ فِعْلِ اللَّهِ كَالْخَالِقِ الرَّازِقِ الْبَالِئِ الْمُصَوِّرِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. Third, names that include. We change the word imply here to include. The word imply could mean that, but I think that implying is a word better used for iltizan. And inclusion is a word best used for this one here, it's a dhamma. So names that include Allah's actions, such as Al-Khaliq, the creator, Al-Raziq, the provider, Al-Bari, the originator, Al-Musawwir, the fashioner, and who gives everything a shape and its form, and others. So al-khaliq, al-khaliq, this name, يتضمن صفة الخلق لله سبحانه وتعالى. والرازق يتضمن صفة, let's see if it's right. The word razik includes the attribute of what? الرزق. I was waiting for somebody to say rizq. That's the word that most people are used to. الرزق. الرزق is provision, right? And الرزق is provision. What's the difference between الرزق والرزق? Provision and provision. provision, the first one, الرزق with the كسر. The كسر الرا, this is a noun, right? This is a noun referring to the thing. As for الرزق, this is the مصدر. This is a verbal noun referring to the action. You understand? Referring to the action. So the rizq, for example, food, rain, plants, trees, that's the rizq. The one providing the rizq is al-razik. And that's his rizq. His action is rizq. Al-razq. You understand that? Al-razq. So we don't say rizq here. The difference. Al-rizq is the actual provision, the sustenance that you eat, that you benefit from, that nourishes you. That's called rizq. As for the action of Allah, it's called al-razq. So the action of provision, and provision, the sustenance that you eat, and provision, the act of providing, right? So al-rizq is the sustenance, the provision that you eat or benefit from, and the act of providing is al-razq. This is derived from here. We understand this attribute from this beautiful name. Likewise, al-bari, al-bari, the originator, the one who brings everything into existence. And likewise, al-musawwir, what's the attribute that is included in this beautiful name? Al-Musawwir. If you learn the Arabic language, it will be very easy for you, especially if you learn Sarf. And it will be delicious for you, and you'll love it. Al-Musawwir. Al-Taswir. Sawwara yusawwiru. Sawwir taswira. Taswira. Fahuwa al-Musawwir. Oh, that's the beautiful name of Allah. Al-Musawwir. Al-Musawwir. The third aspect, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, of what these beautiful names indicate by way of al-Tadhamun, by way of inclusion, ما يتضمن صفة فعل الله كالخالق الرازق البارئ المصور وغير ذلك. Third, the names that include the actions of Allah, such as الخالق includes the action of creation, الرازق includes the action of رزق, الرزق, got myself, the action of الرزق, and البارئ includes the action of originating and bringing it to existence for the first time from nothing. And al-musawwir indicates the action of forming, the fashioner. So here he's not talking about the sifa, the sifa tafil, the attribute of the action, the attribute of the action. So al-khaliq, the masdar is from this, linguistically. Al-Khaliq is ism fa'il. These names here, these words are scale of ism fa'il, right? Al-Khaliq. Khalaqa yakhluqu ukhluq khalqan. So the action is khalq. And likewise, the sifa of that is khalq. Wa razaqa yarzuqu urzuq razqan. Razqan. So the action is razq. Is razq. And these are linguistic benefits that you understand from learning sarf. So what are you sawwiru? Sawwir taswiran. So taswir is the action, and it's the master. It's a verbal noun, but the action is there. The action is there. So this is the action, the description also, the attribute of Allah, at-taswir. Who did you sawwirukum? Fi arhami kayfi yasha. He's the one who formed you. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ وَأَحْسَنَ سُوَّرَكُمْ وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ وَصَوَّرَكُمْ, he's the one who formed you. وَأَحْسَنَ سُوَّرَكُمْ, and he mastered your forms. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. The Quran is so beautiful. You understand? Al-Musawwir. الذي صوركم وأحسن صوركم وإليه المصير. And you want to return to him, the one who fashioned you, the one who formed you, the one who gave you shape, the one who made your ears like that and your eyes like that. You understand? The one who made your heart like that and your lungs like that. You want to return to him. سبحانه وتعالى. We want to return to Allah whenever he's pleased with us. That's why we study our religion. الرابع, excuse me, before that, البارئ. البارئ, برأ يبرأ, يبرأ برأن. البر is to create, to bring into existence. I skipped that one, huh? الرابع ما يتضمن تنزهه تعالى وتقدسه على جميع النقائص كالقدوس والسلام. Names that include Allah's transcendence and perfection. Transcendence meaning that He's free of any impurities, free of any deficiency, free of any weaknesses, free of any resemblance, and that He's perfect, subhanahu. Names that include this meaning, like Al-Quddus, the Holy One, As-Salam, the source of peace, As-Salam, and then He's free from any deficiency or weakness, free from any fault or defect, and He is the Almighty. But how many times, whenever He clarifies His might, He mentions that likewise, the All-Wise. So Allah is Al-Azizu Al-Hakim. He's the Almighty, but He's also the All-Wise. So His might does not cause Him to transgress the limits, rather He's wise and uses wisdom with His might, power, and strength. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand that? So this is from the amazing affairs of studying the Creed of Ahl Sunnah. The Creed of Ahl Sunnah. The names that indicate or include, the names that include the transcendence and perfection, such as Al-Quddus, As-Salam, indicating His freedom from all imperfection and deficiency. Indicating His freedom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from all imperfection and deficiency. لا إله إلا الله. After this, the author, he says, سؤال كم أقسام الأسماء الحسنى من جهة إطلاقها على الله جل وعلا عز وجل. How many categories are there of the beautiful names of Allah in terms of how they are applied to Him? سبحانه وتعالى. We discussed this, inshallah, in our class to come. بإذن الله تعالى, this weekend, we will study the same work. We'll continue. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we'll continue, inshallah. We'll continue, inshallah, daily after Maghrib, and then all this weekend, like I mentioned as well, on this work until we finish. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and the schedule will come out soon with regards to the Saturday class, the work that we will be studying after this weekend. After this weekend. Also, the side classes, inshallah, they will resume next week. Yani the Tajweed class, and then soon also the Arabic class and the sisters class. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So, Tawheed, three types, right? What are they? Huh? Al-Uluhiyya, Al-Rububiyya, Al-Asma'i wa Sifat. Huh? Tawheed, three types, huh? توحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات وتوحيد الألوهية. The ربوبية, that Allah is the Lord, that Allah is the Creator, that Allah is the Provider and Sustainer. Likewise, توحيد الأسماء والصفات, the توحيد of the beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This necessitates that He is the only one who's worthy of worship. He's the only one that is worthy of worship. So therefore, the توحيد الربوبية, التوحيد الأسماء والصفات تستلزم يستلزم توحيد الألوهية. يعني التوحيد العلمي يستلزم التوحيد العملي. يستلزم التوحيد العملي. Understand that? توحيد المعرفة والإثبات يستلزم توحيد الإرادة والطلب. Like this. So the توحيد of Allah's ربوبية, the oneness of Allah and His Lordship, and the oneness of Allah and His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection necessitates that He should be worshipped alone, with no partners. And the fact that He should be worshipped alone with no partners, the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah and His divinity, and His uluhi and His right to be worshipped, this includes Tawheed al-Rububiyya wa Tawheed al-Asma' al-Sifat. We understand that. We talk about Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Included in that is Tawheed al-Rububiyya wa al-Asma' al-Sifat. We understand that from Talamun, because Allah, He's the true God. The true God, He's the Lord. The true God, He's the one who creates. They're calling on somebody, invoking somebody, deifying somebody that doesn't create anything and they themselves are creating. Right? So Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, it includes Rububiyya. What does it mean? Hada, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.